And I want you just to focus this morning. Remember, we spoke about being distracted, right? And your mind going somewhere on your phones. Try and listen to the word this morning so that we can all understand what God is saying to us. And so today I'm going to be sharing with you a message called the Book of Life, right? The Book of Life. So at the end of the age, the books in heaven will be opened and judgment will begin. Only those whose names are written in the Book of Life will enter the kingdom of God. It will be a time of great separation when the righteous are distinguished from the unrighteous. As we read the following passage, we will gain a clearer picture of this glorious and solemn event. And so in your Bibles, we're going to read a small section from the book of Revelation 20:11. So if you turn to your Bibles, please, Revelation 20:11, and we're going to just read a few scriptures together to give us just a bit more understanding of what this means and how we are supposed to understand it. So that's Revelation 20:11, and I'll just start to read, and we will read it slowly together. So let us begin. And then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there is no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So it's quite a scary picture we are given here this morning. The scripture is giving us an image of the things that will happen. And I wanted to share with you, you know, many years ago when I came to the Lord, and I've shared it with some of you before, right? God gave me an image, right? My eyes were open and I saw an image of this lake of fire. And I saw the heads bopping up and down in this lake of fire. My eyes were open, I was lying on my bed, and you can see the redness, you can just see the image. And it just dispersed, and the image dispersed, and it became like a normal a ceiling, right? So God is wanting us to take scripture seriously, right? The scripture is the word of God. We either believe it or we don't. God is saying to us today, just focus. We're going to go through the scripture and find out what the Lord is saying. So what do we need to do? We've read the scripture. It's quite a frightening scripture, really. It's not a scripture where you would gloss over. You look at it. So last week's message was about talents and working for God according to the abilities he has given us, right? When Christ entrusted his disciples with their calling, they immediately began working for him on the earth. Each one according to the role God had appointed them. Their lives show us what faithful stewardship looks like in action. We see the fuller picture of how they used what God had entrusted them to and put to work, and the fruit and the labor it produced. Jesus Christ did not call his followers to remain spectators, right? We're not supposed to come and read the text and be a spectator. That is not Christianity at all. He set them out with a purpose, giving them responsibility and expecting them to faithfully carry out the work. In the same way, every believer has been given something by God to use for his kingdom. So let us now read how Jesus sent out the 70 disciples. So we're going to see this just play out. And if you'd like to turn to Luke 10, 1, we're just going to get a glimpse of this, right? And this is all leading somewhere. The focus this morning is on the book of life. So Luke 10, 1, again, let us read it slowly together and let us just focus on what the word is saying to us so that we may get a deeper understanding. And so I will begin. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face to every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among the wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the way. He's saying, focus, get to the destination, and do what you need to do. Verse 5, but whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Or whatever city you enter and do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us and we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. And then a little further down, if we jump to verse 17, it reads this. So they've come back from their mission. And they're excited. And then the 70 return with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Right? So we're looking at God giving talents to the early disciples, right? And we see a picture starting to emerge. We're getting this picture. So Jesus sends the disciples out on the second recorded mission, right? That was the second mission. The first, you can read about it later, is Luke 1, when he appointed the disciples and he sent them out a short while after he sent the disciples with 70 others. This time he appoints 70 others, also saying, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. What began as a mission will become a lifelong calling. And I want you to understand this part. Following Christ's death, resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, these disciples continued, church, there's a continuation, right, to labor in God's harvest. Many faithfully served for 30, 40, 50 years. And some longer until their death. Over those years, they grew in faith, matured in character, developed the gifts and responsibilities that God had entrusted them. Their service became more fruitful as they walked with the Lord, as they matured, as they understood, relying on the Holy Spirit and remaining faithful through trials and tribulations and persecutions. So we're getting this image, right? God is giving us this image that when God is calling you, church, to serve him, right? It's not just 1 year. It's not 2 years. It's not 3 years, right? It's a lifestyle. It's a part of your existence to serve the Lord, right? We get carried away, right? 1 year, 2 years, we're on fire for Christ, right? Then the enemy comes, turns our world upside down. We get dislodged. We get off our main goal. We get discouraged. And then we're taken off track, right? And this is a very common thing in the church. Very common thing, right? But God is saying to you, get back on track. Get back onto the track and continue day by day in your walk with the Lord. Because God hasn't changed. The message hasn't changed, right? No one goes to you, you know, if you're studying to be a doctor, right? Or a lawyer, or whatever it may be, right? The job you have takes you years to train, right? Doesn't it? You go to university 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, right? You don't get a position like this. You've got to train for it, right? The disciples are saying, when they walk with Jesus Christ, right, it wasn't the first year. It was the second or the third year as they started to follow Christ, they follow his ways, and they started to understand the mission, okay? God is saying us the same thing. Your life in Christianity today, got to examine it. You got to say, Lord, am I growing? Am I moving? Am I doing more? Am I understanding more? Am I producing more fruit? Right? You've got to look at your life. Look at the scriptures, and you got to be honest with yourself. If you're sitting here today, be honest with yourself. And you can say, Lord, I'm not doing too much. I got distracted. I got overthrown. I got dislodged. And you can be sincere with the Lord. And you can say, Lord, I want to carry on serving you. And you get back on that horse. You get back on that track. And you continue, right? You can continue. There's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Even if you've been off the scene for a year, 2 years, 3 years, right? God is calling you back. He's saying, today, let's go. We've got things to do. We've got places to go. All right? You've got to grow in character. You've got to grow in your gifting. You've got to grow in the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be handed to you, church. It's not going to be given to you. You're going to have to be led by the Spirit every day. You're going to have to go through some storms, right? Some potholes. You're going to go through some discouragement. You're going to go through people around you who are not really for you. You're going to have to go through all that. And then you have to continue on that narrow path to do your work for the Lord. All right, church. Are you understanding? Are you engaging, or your mind gone somewhere else this morning? Hallelujah. I promise you, your mind is against you, right? The battle is always the mind. Your mind's going somewhere else. It's injecting something. You've got to learn to tell the thought, shut up. I've done it all my life. Shut up. Shut your mouth. I'm not listening to you anymore. You want me to go there and think about this and this and this and miss the message today. All right? Christianity calls you to be bold. You've got to have a fire in you, right? You've got to have a zeal for the things of God. You've got to have it. Or it'll be stolen from you. It'll be taken from you. Your dreams, your ministries, the new things God wants to do for you and with you. It's been taken from you. It's been stolen from you because you're believing the lie. Church, focus on the Word of God. Focus on the mission ahead. You need to grow in faith, mature in character, develop the gifts and responsibilities God has entrusted to them and to you. Then you become more fruitful. You get deeper in the Lord. You get more engagement. You have more action and more breakthrough. And then it starts to grow. Your anointing starts to grow. No one's going to give it to you. You have to grow layer upon layer, precept upon precept. You've got to do it. So this gives us a clearer understanding of the working out of the talents, right? Everyone here, listen, you all got a talent. You may buried it. And you may think, I don't have a talent, right? Which is the number one lie. Not worthy, not good enough. And who's going to listen to me? The usual nonsense that people believe about themselves. And I'm telling you, you've been lied to. And I hate it, but I can't do nothing about it but encourage you, right? whatever God has given you, a precious talent. Didn't I say last week, one talent is what, 20 years of wages? Five talents, 40 years, 5 gold coins, 100 years of wages. That means he's given you stuff. He's given you stuff. You think, oh, where is it then? You're telling me about, where is it, Pastor? It's in the Spirit. It's in your spirit. It's when you're led by the Spirit and he says, do this and go here. And that's where it is. That's my life for 13 years. It's in my spirit. You understand what I'm saying to you? Let it go into your mind and into your spirit and start breaking off. Some of you need to shake off that serpent, right? That's attached to you. Shake it off. Get lost. I don't want you. Sod off. Get violence. Yeah, Christians are too soft. You've got no violence in you. You've got no righteousness in you. You're getting distracted. You're watching a little girl walk out and run. See? Church. Come on, church. We're not scrolling through TikTok, right? We're not TikTok scrolling. We are focused. Yes. Aren't we right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And your little child's coming and the thing here. I'm going to do some balloons and you're going to go... Listen, mind, change your mind, change your life, change your mind, change your life. What mind do you have? Pastor, I have the mind of Christ. Isn't that right? You read the scripture, you see how Jesus walks on the earth and you mimic it and you follow it. And then the carnal mind starts to break up, it starts getting destroyed and it will just fall off you. I promise you, I've done it. Yeah, many of you are struggling with different things. I've been there and I've struggled exactly where you are. And I've come out the other side and I've got my medal, right? Because I beat it. You got to beat it. You got to beat the discouragement. You got to beat the condemnation. You got to beat the lies of the people that are not for you. And it may even be family that are not for you, church. I'm sorry to say. They're not going to be for you, right? There's only one for you, promise you. His name is Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never deceive you. He will never discourage you. He will say, son, daughter, let's go. Let's get up. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And that's what you should be hearing. Not discouraged. No, I'm depressed. Not this. No, I should be, Pastor, you know what? This thing came to me and I said, sod off in the name of get lost. And some of you need a ministry. The sod off ministry. Get lost. Get lost. Understand this, I'm not joking with you. I'm not joking with you, right? I'm not joking. You get a thought, sod off, get lost. Get lost. Get lost, man. I've had you all my life. Sod off, get lost. Get behind me, Satan. Move. You've got to develop this in you because I'm telling you, right? Unless you do that, you will not see the goodness of God. You will not see the invisible kingdom. You won't see it. And you'll be discouraged and your Christianity is wishy-washy. And I don't want that for you, I promise you. Because you've got a whole life ahead of you. Exciting, beautiful, awesome life. Good works. Not me. Good works God has given every one of you here, right? Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you're going to walk in it or not, he's given it to you. But you've got to get it. You've got to go out. You've got to get it. You've got to fight. All right? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it, right? Take it. Take it, which means just receive it. Lord, I know you've got a life for me. I know you've got a plan for me. I know you've got a purpose for me. I know you've got a destiny for me. I'm not my past. I'm not what other people say. I'm not the world. You are the frigging church. We're the church. We are the bride of Christ. You are chosen. You are called. You are appointed. You're anointed. Oh, but I don't feel. Who cares about what you feel? Your feelings will lie to you all the days of your life. All to your grave, it will lie to you. The voice will lie to you. You'll feel, I don't feel it today. I don't feel special. I don't feel anointed. I don't feel love. I don't feel it today. Listen, let every man be a liar. Right? And God be true. Strong mind. Right? Need strong mind. Christianity. The battle's in the mind. So we are making the connection now. We've gone through Revelation. We've seen the judgment. We know the judgment. Oh God, Lord. There's going to be a division. In church, right? In church, in the world, division. Two books are open. Your name, by God's grace, is in the book of life. I understand what I'm telling you? In 100 years, most of us won't be here in 100 years. I won't be here in 100 years. I won't be preaching here. Be someone else. Most of you won't be here in 100 years. You won't be here, will you, church? Think about it in 100 years. Think about it. On the day when you take your last breath, where are you going?
Heaven.
All right? So think about your life. All right? Think about the things that God wants you to do. We can make a reasonable connection that those who faithfully labored with the Holy Spirit, very important, right person. Not labored with yourself, not labored with the pastor, not labored with YouTube, right? Not labored with scrolling, not labeling with the shepherd, with the wolves. Co-laboring, who with, church? Tell me. Faithfully labor with the Holy Spirit through the gospel over many years, demonstrate a life surrendered to God, right? So don't get discouraged, right? If you're discouraged, don't get discouraged. You have to develop character, right? You might be walking and you want to run. Don't get discouraged, right? Don't let the scripture discourage. You've got time. Church, do we have time? You've got some time, haven't we? You got a bit of time. Don't get discouraged, right? Don't listen to the go, you know what? It's my name though. I haven't done many things. Listen, today is the day. And this applies to me also, right? I'm in it with you all. We're all in it together, right? Don't get discouraged. So we see this picture starting to emerge. Through faithful service. Look, most of you are coming to church weekly. You're in a church, you're going to a church, you're reading your Bible, you're on your knees, you're praying, right? Sincerely in your heart, right? You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to know the Hebrew and the Greek and the Latin. All you need to know is the language of love, right? God's holy love. That's all you need to know. Love. Love of God, right? So us too, we too, you too, we have to demonstrate our life with the Lord by walking out day by day, week by week, year by year, right? And God will start to walk with you. Paul is expressing the same truth that Christ taught, but he gives us a deeper insight. He speaks directly about fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. You know, some people say, well, you know, nobody knows. It's not really true. Who knows who's going to heaven? Philippians 4, 1 to 3. It's a small scripture. If you want to read it, I'll read it for you. No problem, right? Therefore, this is Paul speaking. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast, beloved. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. So God, he just said, I'm imploring everyone here to be in the same mind, right? Stand fast on the word of God. Don't worry about the storm. Don't worry about where you are. Don't worry about anything. I implore to be of the same mind in the Lord. And so now we get a connection, right? The Lord and the mind. It means have the mindset of Christ. So your role as a Christian is to think, you know, do I have the mind of Christ? And if not, Lord, help me have it. Simple. No condemnation. It's Lord, I want the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is just a mind that believes the word of God over what you see and what you feel and what you hear. That's all it means, church. I have the mind of Christ. You should say, shall we say it together? I have the mind of Christ. Can we say it? If you believe, I have the mind of Christ. There you go, right? Be in the same mind. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women. Here you go, the awesome women of the church. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. Isn't they awesome? Help these women who labor with me in the gospel. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The women in the gospel. See, women, awesome. God loves you. Look at that, so awesome. First evangelists, the women, awesome. And then it goes with Clement also. And the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Is that astonishing? Isn't it astonishing? So he's given you all an image, right? You love Jesus Christ. You want to follow him. You're born again. You've got the Spirit of God in you, right? And the Spirit of God gives you a talent or two, right? And maybe you're sleeping for three or four years. No problem. Wake up. No problem. Hallelujah. Wake up. Do a bit of things for the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do before I see you? Lord, how can I serve you in the way you have designed me? Because listen, everyone here, I promise you, right? Everyone here is unique. I can't do what you can do. I can't do it. I promise you. You are made from your very essence, your very core, from the very hair on your head is different to mine. Your DNA, the way God made you, right? With purpose and desire and the gifts and your anointing. Whatever it is that he's put in you, I can't do it. You can. And part of the church is to encourage you in your gifting. Right? And so you can say, Lord, what have you designed me to do? Not what I feel, but what is in me that needs to come out of me? How can I serve you? How can I, Lord? And see, if you start asking those questions, church, right, all the condemnation just goes away, because there is no condemnation, right? In God's kingdom, there is none. There is just maybe, you know, very immature Christianity, probably. Maybe some wrong teaching, right? Possibly. But there's no condemnation. And so God is saying, listen, I'm calling you, everyone here who's got breath in their body, in their lungs, who's in the church this morning, forget your past. I don't care. He doesn't care. It's today, isn't it? Today, Lord, you know, I'm going to write in my diary, I will serve you with my last breath. And then you do all you can to stand on that. That's it, church. I promise you, it's as simple as that. And every day in the morning, Lord, you know what? I haven't done much for you, but Lord, today I'm going to stand on that. And so you write it in your notebook, whatever. And then Monday you read it again. Tuesday you read it again. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. For the whole week, for the whole month. You read it and it goes into you. And then something starts to happen in the spiritual realm. Because it's spirit, right? And God starts to say, okay, this one's come alive. He's activated. They're activated. Okay, let's go. Because your work is still unfinished. Do you understand? Your work, your ministry is still unfinished. It doesn't just stop because you're not interested in it. It has to be done. So all God will do is raise up other people when you don't do it. So wake yourself up, shake yourself up, say, Lord, use me in these last days because I will see you face to face. You will see God. Everyone here, you will see God face to face. You will see God face to face. And that's a friggin' scary thing. That's why the Bible tells us the fear of the Lord. Begin wisdom. You want some wisdom today? Fear God. And it's not a fear like I'm shaking because I'm condemned. It's like God loves me so much and I've done every little with that love. It could be that love, right? It's like your husband telling you to do some things. You haven't listened too well to him. That's as simple as that. Okay, you know, husband, Lord, you are the husband. I'm the bride. I'm going to listen to you. So you make it very simple, and anything else that comes in to try and make it condemnation, sod off, mate. Get lost. I promise you, church, you've got to talk like that. When I first started my Christianity, I was walking down the road, get out! People thought I was mad. Have a pain in my foot, get out! In the go! I'm walking down the road, get out! My wife would do the same thing, and other people would do the same thing. You know why? I am out of my mind. I am out of my mind in his. Right, Christianity, when people say, oh, you're brainwashed and you know, you're, I say, yeah, absolutely I am. I'm out of my mind, absolutely. I'm in his mind, I'm in the mind of Christ. You understand? We're different kingdoms, different dynamics, different outcome for your life. But if you're not going to listen to what he's saying to you and not do anything, what can he say? He can't force you. You still have your free will, don't you? I can't, as much as I would love to shake a person up, right, I can't lord it over you. I can't threaten you because God gives you that gift of free will. No, I don't want to believe the Lord today. I'm going to go by my emotions and by my feelings, and that's what I'm going to believe. Or I'm going to stand on the Word of God and believe the Word of God. So you, like me, we all have the same choice. Don't we? Every day I make the choices every day to serve the Lord. Every day I get up in the morning and I'll pray. Every morning, I can get up and say, oh, I don't feel like it today. I'm discouraged. I got some bad news. I got an email. business this, that, and I can say the wrong things, and I can be very discouraged very easily. Very easily. I can be very discouraged very easily, right? But I choose to say, no, Lord, you are God. Your breath is in me. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He was resurrected. You're coming again. I'm called. I'm appointed. I'm anointed. My name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. And you can say what God says about you. And when you start to do that, your mind starts to snap. It starts to get renewed. The enemy will come in like a flood to tell you that's rubbish. You're being silly. Look at you. Look at the state of you. You've done nothing. Don't worry about it. And you can hear that voice. And you can say, sod off, man. I've listened to you all my life. Sod off. Get lost. I tell people, you should die trusting God than believing the lie. You should die trusting God than believing the lie. Right? Die trusting. Be a fool for the Lord. Oh yeah, okay, Lord, I'm gonna die trusting God. And that is the only standard to live by. That is the other standard is you're on the sand, right? Oh, was that the Lord? I'm not sure if that was me. And you go into no man's land. Listen, only God is going to tell you the truth. He's going to tell you, let's go, son. Let's go, daughter. We've got work to do. You've been hijacked. Your mind has been hijacked for a time. Your ways have been hijacked. No problem. Let's go. How many people over the 13 years, they've been hijacked. Mind's been hijacked. Brother, I think, listen, don't you understand? Let God be true in every voice, every man, every YouTube, every scroll. Let it be a liar. You're a liar. You're trying to distract me. You're trying to put new things in me that I don't want. Are you trying to build a fortress in me that I don't want? You're putting a stronghold in me that I don't want. Get lost, man. I'm free. Beautiful. Isn't it beautiful, church, to be free from yourself? But we have to get there. You have to be free from yourself. You know, Jesus Christ said this, the enemy has nothing of him in me. You understand what that means? Right? The enemy has nothing of him in me. No condemnation, no lies, no fear, nothing in me. Right? This body, your body is a temple. Right? It's a temple of God. It's holy. It's set apart, it's sanctified. You live in this house with only one other spirit, and he is called the Holy Spirit. Not the false spirit or the perverse spirit or whatever spirit is out there, right? Because they are trying to compete with the Holy Spirit, and people allow them to live in their house, right? Get lost. I don't want you. Get lost. Holy Spirit produces boldness, produces peace. Right? Produces a love for God, produces a love for the Word, produces great humility, right? Humility. Humble yourself, humility. So these are the attributes of the Holy Spirit in your life, right? And you start to get to learn how God is walking and talking in you. And you start functioning in such a beautiful way. But you have to walk it out. I can teach it, but you've got to do it. Right, you got to do the work, just like the disciples. Jesus didn't; they didn't read in a church and did nothing. They were doing it. We're reading about the acts, aren't we? We're reading about the works. We're not reading about people sitting down. The gospel's moving, the Spirit's moving, the revelation's moving. We are moving. You are moving. We're not supposed to sit in a church all day, read and meditate and do nothing all week. Do nothing with our life. That's not it. That is not it, right? Head knowledge, right? Knowledge will puff you up, right? Love edifies. There's a time to learn. There's a time for you to read and understand and study. I'm not saying not, but your balance has got to be the Word and it's got to be the Spirit, right? And for me, it's a lot more of the Spirit, right? Because the Spirit just reminds me of the Word anyway. You understand? If you go too much into the Spirit, you're going to pick up a different spirit. It's only, listen, it's so beautiful. It's only the Holy Spirit who will bring the Word in. It's so awesome. Yeah. It's so beautiful. It's only the Holy Spirit, right, that will glorify Jesus. Because Jesus said he'll come, he'll glorify me. How does he do that? He brings to remembrance the Word. It's so beautiful. The relationship between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is inseparable. That's how you know the real Spirit is working in a man. He will quote the scripture. He will bring up a few things. I'm not saying he's going to be a scribe, but he will know that God's Spirit, and he will know the Word of God. So we just read here, Paul is saying, he's using these words, those who labor with me in the gospel. They're saying the gospel doesn't have to be, you don't have to be like me on the streets preaching the gospel, right? You can be at home, you can be sharing with family, you can be sharing with friends, you can give a tract, you can give your testimony, right? It doesn't have to be this massive big circus, right? Very small, very subtle, Jesus helped me with this. There you go, you're evangelizing the gospel. You understand, church? You don't have to be a certain standard, right? You don't have to be extreme. You just, can I pray for you that God will do something? Put your hand and pray. Right? You're doing the gospel. You're bringing in the kingdom, right? You're bringing in God's rule and his law and his spiritual truth. You're bringing these things into people and you're there. So don't think, oh, what am I doing? Because some people say, oh, I'm not doing much. I say, you are, though. You just don't know you are. You're coming to church, right? You're getting equipped. You're getting trained. You're talking to some people. You are. Everyone here is talking to someone about the Lord in some capacity. So don't get discouraged. Think about 20 years. Think about 30-year ministry, right? You might be year 3, year 4, year 5, year 6, whatever it may be, right? But we've got 30 years. We've got 40 years. So we need to relax, right? You need to relax. You need to understand God's peace and his presence. The image today, very beautiful image. We were in a basket and the church was going up, right? God will keep you in peace, in stillness. You hear the Lord in stillness. We had beautiful worship today, but it's not banging and singing and worship. Worship can be worship singing, or it could be total stillness. Total stillness. You're there, you're just submitting to God, and God's Spirit is just there ministering people. So God is saying the same thing to us. Again, Paul just giving us this image, connecting the gospel. So we started off with the book of life, right? We've gone through Revelations, we've gone through Jesus saying these works. Because you're doing his works, because the Holy Spirit's in you and he's putting in you to do the works, this is just meaning you're going to go into heaven and your name is written, right? So make the connection. If you're born again, you're probably already doing stuff with the Holy Spirit. So it's not like, oh no, I'm not doing anything. Just say, Lord, the Spirit of God is in me. I believe you. And start just working with the Lord. So just, if I can summarize the message from the scriptures today, and we're coming to an end now, we can say with some certainty that the end of the age, as described in the book of Revelation, two books are opened. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And this is the book that our names, by God's grace, he's put our name on there. So for our names to be in the book of life, Jesus tells his disciples, and Paul says the same thing, that we are to labor in the gospel. Right? That's it. And you already do it. Most of you are already doing it, right? And you're going to get better at doing it. And you're going to get more anointed at doing it, and you're going to get more mature at doing it, because you're learning things, right? You're learning more things than you did last year. You're learning about your new character. You're learning about the Holy Spirit more. So there's no condemnation. There's no late starters. There's no I didn't do enough. It's just you're like you're on a conveyor belt, right? And it's just moving, right? Go to the airport, and some of the runways are so far away, and you can't get to them. You go on a conveyor belt, and it helps you along to the flight. Right? And that's what you've got to see yourself, right? Not your works, not your good deeds, not even your knowledge. Even when you fail, Christ says, okay, sister, child, brother, son, let me pick you up by the hand. Because he says a smoldering wick he will not put out, right? He's not saying, you didn't do this and you haven't done that. And he's not about that. God is the Savior. He's your everyday Savior. He wants you to know that. So we labor in the gospel. This is where we hope our names are written. And I think it's more than a hope, really. It means we should faithfully work with the talents, right? Again, it goes back to you and the talents God has given you. Everyone here, your talents God has given you through the coming years, right? Not minutes, but years. Years, your ministry, years. You're working with God, putting them to use for His glory. So I'm going to finish on this scripture, right? And then I'm going to just pray for you here this morning. And you need to ask yourself a question, right? Why are you saved? Right? I'm going to give you the answers. I'll make it very easy for you. But you can ask yourself, why are you saved? Why has God saved you? Why are you sitting in a church? Why? You know, you can ask the question, why are you here this morning? You made the effort. You come to church this morning, right? You made an effort. And so the answer, this is the answer. You know it. For by grace you have been saved. You understand? Through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, right? Beautiful. You are beautiful before the Lord, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Right? So that means you already have your talents. God's expecting you here. Everyone here, God is expecting you to walk in the talents that He has given you, because He saved you for something. So I'm going to just pray, church, over you this. I think we're still in the afternoon now. I want you all to take a deep breath, right? Firstly, I just want to just reassure and affirm, right, that therefore now there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All right? And so God is saying, wash that away. All right? Stay focused this morning. Now I pray for God's presence to come upon you, for the talents to be in you, for everything right now that we spoke about today to be in you, that it may be fruitful in this time of this year, that you may know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you may pursue the Holy Spirit, that you may know there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, and that you may receive everything that Jesus Christ has died to give you today. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah. And so I know we're ending with the children who barged all the way in. You see, the children get it. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent one just take it. They fling the door open. They don't care. Hallelujah. Bless the children. Hallelujah. So I'm going to hand it over to the little ones now. Can we get them all where they need to be for singing this morning?